Tractate 13 John 3. 22-29. Part 2. But someone will say, it were enough, then, that John baptized only the Lord, what need was there for others to be baptized by John? Now we have said this too, that if John had baptized only the Lord, men would not be without this thought, that John had a better baptism than the Lord had. They would say, in fact, so great was the baptism of John, that Christ alone was worthy to be baptized therewith. Therefore, to show that the baptism which the Lord was to give was better than that of John, that the one might be understood as that of a servant, the other as that of the Lord was baptized to give an example of humility, but he was not the only one baptized by John, lest John's baptism should appear to be better than the baptism of the Lord. To this end, however, our Lord Jesus Christ showed the way, as you have heard, brethren, lest any man, arrogating to himself that he has abundance of some particular grace, should disdain to be baptized with the baptism of the Lord. For whatever the catechumen's proficiency, he still carries the load of his iniquity, it is not forgiven him until he shall have come to baptism. Just as the people Israel were not rid of the Egyptians until they had come to the Red Sea, so no man is rid of the pressure of sins until he has come to the font of baptism. Then there arose a question on the part of John's disciples with the Jews about purifying. John baptized, Christ baptized. John's disciples were moved, there was a running after Christ, people were coming to John. Those who came to John, he sent to Jesus to be baptized, but they who were baptized by Christ were not sent to John. John's disciples were alarmed, and began to dispute with the Jews, as usually happens. Understand the Jews to have declared that Christ was greater, and that to his baptism people ought to have recourse. John's disciples, not yet understanding this, defended John's baptism. They came to John himself, that he might solve the question. Understand, beloved. And here we are given to see the use of humility, and, when people were erring in the subject of dispute, are shown whether John desired to glory in himself. Now probably he said, you say the truth, you contend rightly, mine is the better baptism, I baptized Christ himself. John could say this after Christ was baptized. If he wished to exalt himself, what an opportunity he had to do so. But he knew better before whom to humble himself. To him whom he knew to have come after himself by birth, he willingly yielded precedence by confessing him. He understood his own salvation to be in Christ. He had already said above, we all have received out of his fullness, and this is to confess him to be God. For how can all men receive of his fullness, if he be not God? For if he is man in such wise that he is not God, then himself also receives of the fullness of God, and so is not God. But if all men receive of his fullness, he is the fountain, they are drinkers. They that drink of a fountain, both thirst and drink. The fountain never thirsts, it has never need of itself. Men need a fountain. With thirsty stomachs and parched lips they run to the fountain to be refreshed. The fountain flows to refresh, so does the Lord Jesus. Let us see, then, what answer John gives. They came unto John, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold the same baptizeth, and all men come to him, that is, what sayest thou? Ought they not to be hindered, that they may rather come to thee? He answered and said, a man cannot receive anything, except it be given him from heaven. Of whom, think you, had John said this? Of himself. As a man, I received, saith he, from heaven. Note, my beloved, a man cannot receive anything, except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. As much as to say, Why do you deceive yourselves? See how you have put this question before me. What have you said to me? Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness. Then you know what sort of witness I bear to him. Am I now to say that he is not the same whom I declared him to be? And because I received somewhat from heaven, in order to be something, do you wish me to be empty of it, so as to speak against the truth? A man cannot receive anything, except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ. Thou art not the Christ, but what if thou art greater than he since thou didst baptize him? I am sent, I am the herald, he is the judge. But hear a far stronger, a far more expressive testimony. See you what it is we are treating of? See you that to love any person in place of Christ is adultery? Why do I say this? Let us attend to the voice of John. People could be mistaken in him, could think him to be the person he was not. He rejects the false honor, in order to hold the truth complete. See what he declares Christ to be, what does he say himself is? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Be chaste, love the bridegroom. But what art thou, who sayest to us, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom? But the friend of the bridegroom, who standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. The Lord our God will help me in proportion to the tumult of my heart, for it is full of sadness, to utter the grief I feel, but I beseech you by Christ himself to imagine in thought what it will not be possible for me to utter, for I know that my grief cannot be expressed with befitting impressiveness. Now I see many adulterers who desire to get possession of the bride, purchased at so great a price, loved while deformed that she might be made fair, having been purchased and delivered and adorned by such an one, and those adulterers strive with their words to be loved instead of the bridegroom. Of that one it is said, This is he that baptizeth zero. Who is he that goes forth from us and says, I am he that baptizeth? Who is he that goes forth from us and says, That is holy which I give? Who is he that goes hence and says, It is good for thee to be born of me? Let us hear the friend of the bridegroom, not the adulterers against the bridegroom, let us hear one jealous, but not for himself. Brethren, return in thought to your own homes. I speak of carnal, I speak of earthly things, I speak after the manner of men, for the infirmity of your flesh. Many of you have, many of you wish to have, many, though you wish not to have, still have had wives, many who do not at all wish to have wives, are born of the wives of your fathers. This is a feeling that touches every heart. There is no man so alien from mankind in human affairs as not to feel what I say. Suppose that a man, having set out on a journey, had commended his bride to the care of his friend, See, I pray thee, thou art my dear friend, see to it, lest in my absence some other may perchance be loved in my stead. Then what sort of a person must he be, who, while the guardian of the bride or wife of his friend, does indeed endeavor that none other be loved, but if he wishes himself to be loved instead of his friend, and desires to enjoy her who was committed to his care, how detestable must he appear to all mankind? Let him see her gazing out of the window, or joking with someone somewhat too heedlessly, he forbids her as one who is jealous. I see him jealous, but let me see for whom he is jealous, whether for his absent friend or for his present self. Think that our Lord Jesus Christ has done this. He has committed his bride to the care of his friend, he has set out on a journey to a far country to receive a kingdom, as he says himself in the Gospel, but yet is present in his majesty. Let the friend who has gone beyond the sea be deceived, and if he is deceived, woe to him who deceives. Why do men attempt to deceive God? God who looks at the hearts of all, and searches the secrets of all. But some heretic shows himself, and says, Tis I that give, tis I that sanctify, tis I that justify, go not thou to that other section. He does well indeed to be jealous, but see for whom. Go not thou to idols, saith he is rightly jealous, nor to diviners, still rightly jealous. Let us see for whom he is jealous, what I give is holy, because it is I that give it, he is baptized whom I baptize, he whom I baptize not is not baptized. Hear thou the friend of the bridegroom, learn to be jealous for thy friend, hear his voice who is he that baptizeth. Why desire to arrogate to thyself what is not thine? Is he so very absent who has left here his bride? Knowest thou not, that he who rose from the dead is sitting at the right hand of the Father? If the Jews despised him hanging on the tree, dost thou despise him sitting in heaven? Be assured, beloved, that I suffer great grief of this matter, but, as I have said, I leave the rest to your thoughts. I cannot utter it if I speak the whole day. If I bewail it the whole day, I do not enough. I cannot utter it, if I should have, as the prophet says, a fountain of tears, and were I changed into tears, and to become all tears, were I turned into tongues, and to become all tongues, it were not enough. Let us return and see what this John saith, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, she is not my bride. And dost thou not rejoice in the marriage? Yea, saith he, I do rejoice, but the friend of the bridegroom, who standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the voice of the bridegroom. Not because of mine own voice, saith he, do I rejoice, but because of the bridegroom's voice. I am in the place of hearer, he, of speaker, I am as one that must be enlightened, he is the light, I am as the ear, he is the word. Therefore the friend of the bridegroom standeth and heareth him. Why standeth? Because he falls not. How fails not? Because he is humble. See him standing on solid ground, I am not worthy to loose the latchet of his shoe. Thou doest well to be humble, deservedly thou dost not fall, deservedly thou standest, and hearest him, and rejoicest greatly for the bridegroom's voice. So also the apostle is the bridegroom's friend, he too is jealous, not for himself, but for the bridegroom. Hear his voice when he is jealous, I am jealous over you, said he, with the jealousy of God not with my own, nor for myself, but with the jealousy of God. Why? How? Over whom art thou jealous, and for whom? For I have espoused you to one husband, to present a chaste virgin to Christ. Why dost thou fear, then? Why art thou jealous? I fear, saith he, lest, as the serpent beguiled Eve by his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the chastity which is in Christ too. The whole church is called a virgin. You see that the members of the church are divers, that they are endowed with and do rejoice in divers gifts, some men wedded, some women wedded, some are widowers who seek no more to have wives, some are widows who seek no more to have husbands, some men preserve continence from their youth, some women have vowed their virginity to God, divers are the gifts, but all these are one virgin. Where is this virginity, for it is not in the body? It belongs to few women, and if virginity can be said of men, to few men in the church belongs a holy integrity even of body, yet one such is a more honorable member. Other members, however, preserve virginity, not in body, but all in mind. What is the virginity of the mind? Entire faith, firm hope, sincere charity. This is the virginity which he, who, was jealous for the bridegroom, feared might be corrupted by the serpent. For, just as the bodily member is marred in a certain part, so the seduction of the tongue defiles the virginity of the heart. Let her who does not desire without cause to keep virginity of body, see to it that she be not corrupted in mind. What shall I say, then, brethren? Even the heretics have virgins, and there are many virgins among heretics. Let us see whether they love the bridegroom, so that this virginity may be guarded. For whom is it guarded? For Christ. Let us see if it be for Christ, and not for Donatus. Let us see for whom this virginity is preserved, you can easily prove. Behold, I show you the bridegroom, for he shows himself. John bears witness to him, this is he that baptizeth. O thou virgin, if for this bridegroom thou preservest thy virginity, why runnest thou to him who says, I am he that baptizeth, while the friend of the bridegroom tells thee, this is he that baptizeth? Again, thy bridegroom posse saith the whole world, why, then, shouldst thou be defiled with a part of it? Who is the bridegroom? For God is king of all the earth. This thy bridegroom possesses the whole, because he purchased the whole. See at what price he purchased it, that thou mayest understand what he has purchased. What price has he given? He gave his blood. Where gave he, where shed he, his blood? In his passion. Is it not to thy bridegroom thou singest, or feignest to sing, when the whole world was purchased, they pierced my hands and my feet, they counted all my bones, but they themselves considered me, they looked upon me, they divided my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots? Thou art the bride, acknowledge thy bridegroom's vesture. Upon what vesture was the lot cast? Ask the gospel, see to whom thou art espoused, see from whom thou receivest pledges. Ask the gospel, see what it tells thee in the suffering of the Lord. There was a coat there, let us see what kind, woven from the top throughout. What does the coat woven from the top signify, but charity? What does this coat signify, but unity? Consider this coat, which not even the persecutors of Christ divided. For it saith, they said among themselves, let us not divide it, but let us cast lots upon it. Behold that of which the Psalm spoke. Christ's persecutors did not rend his garment, Christians divide the church. But what shall I say, brethren? Let us see plainly what he purchased. For there he bought, where he paid the price. Paid it for how much? If he paid it only for Africa, let us be Donatists, and not be called Donatists, but Christians, since Christ bought only Africa, although even here are other than Donatists. But he has not been silent of what he bought in this transaction. He has made up the account. Thanks be to God, he has not tricked us. Need there is for that bride to hear, and then to understand to whom she has vowed her virginity. There, in that psalm where it says, they pierced my hands and my feet, they counted all my bones, wherein the Lord's passion is most openly declared, the psalm which is read every year on the last week, in the hearing of the whole people, at the approach of Christ's passion, and this psalm is read both among them and us, there, I say, note, brethren, what he has bought, let the bill of merchandise be read, hear you what he bought, all the ends of the earth shall remember, and turn unto thee, Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship in his sight, for the kingdom is his, and he shall rule the nations. Behold what it is he has bought. Behold. For God, the King of all the earth, is thy bridegroom. Why, then, wouldst thou have one so rich reduced to rags? Acknowledge him, he bought the whole, yet thou sayest, thou hast a part of it here. Oh, would that thou weft well pleasing to thy spouse, would that thou who speakest word not defiled, and, what is worse, defiled in heart, not in body. Thou lovest a man instead of Christ, lovest one that says, 'Tis I that baptize, not hearing the friend of the bridegroom when he says, this is he that baptizeth, not hearing him when he says, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. I have not the bride, said he, but what am I? But the friend of the bridegroom, who standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly, because of the bridegroom's voice. Evidently, then, my brethren, it profits those men nothing to keep virginity, to have continence, to give alms. All those doings which are praised in the church profit them nothing, because they rend unity, namely, that coat of charity. What do they? Many among them are eloquent, great tongues, streams of tongues. Do they speak like angels? Let them hear the friend of the bridegroom, jealous for the bridegroom, not for himself, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. But what say they? We have baptism. Thou hast, but not thine. It is one thing to have, another to own. Baptism thou hast, for thou hast received to be baptized, received as one enlightened, provided thou be not darkened of thyself, and when thou givest as a minister, not as owner, as a herald proclaiming, not as a judge. The judge speaks through the herald, and nevertheless it is not written in the registers, the herald said, but, the judge said. Therefore see if what thou givest is thine by authority. But if thou hast received, confess with the friend of the bridegroom, a man cannot receive anything, except it be given him from heaven. Confess with the friend of the bridegroom, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom standeth and heareth him. But oh, would thou didst stand and hear him, and not fall, to hear thyself. For by hearing him, thou wouldst stand and hear, for thou wilt speak, and thy head is puffed with pride. I, saith the church, if I am the bride, if I have received pledges, if I have been redeemed at the price of that blood, do hear the voice of the bridegroom, and I do hear the voice of the bridegroom's friend too, if he give glory to my bridegroom, not to himself. Let the friend speak, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom standeth and heareth him, and rejoices greatly because of the voice of the bridegroom. Behold, thou hast sacraments, and I grant that thou hast. Thou hast the form, but thou art a branch cut off from the vine, thou hast a form, I want the root. There is no fruit of the form, except where there is a root, but where is the root but in charity? Hear the form of the cut-off branches, let Paul speak, though I know all mysteries, saith he, and have all prophecy, and all faith, and how great a faith, so as to remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Let no man tell you fables, then. Pontius wrought a miracle, and Donatus prayed, and God answered him from heaven. In the first place, either they are deceived, or they deceive. In the last place, grant that he removes mountains, and have not charity, saith the apostle, I am nothing. Let us see whether he has charity. I would believe that he had, if he had not divided unity. For against those whom I may call marvel workers, my God has put me on my guard, saying, in the last times there shall arise false prophets, doing signs and wonders, to lead into error, if it were possible, even the elect. Lo, I have foretold it to you. Therefore the bridegroom has cautioned us, that we ought not to be deceived even by miracles. Sometimes, indeed, a deserter frightens a plain countryman, but whether he is of the camp, and whether he is the better of that character with which he is marked, is what he who would not be frightened or seduced attends to. Let us then, my brethren, hold unity. Without unity, even he who works miracles is nothing. The people Israel was in unity, and yet wrought no miracles. Pharaoh's magicians were out of unity, and yet they wrought the like works as Moses. The people Israel, as I have said, wrought no miracles. who were saved with God, they who did, or they who did not, work miracles. The Apostle Peter raised a dead person, Simon Magus did many things, there were there certain Christians who were not able to do either what Peter did or what Simon did, and wherein did they rejoice? In this, that their names were written in heaven. For this is what our Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples on their return, because of the faith of the Gentiles. The disciples, in truth, themselves said, boasting, Behold, Lord, in thy name even the devils are subject to us. Rightly indeed they confessed, they brought the honor to the name of Christ, and yet what does he say to them? Do not you glory in this, that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Peter cast out devils. Some old widow, some lay person or other, having charity, and holding the integrity of faith, forsooth does not do this. Peter is the eye in the body, that man is the finger, yet is he in the same body in which Peter is, and if the finger has less power than the eye, yet it is not cut off from the body. Better is it to be a finger and to be in the body, than to be an eye and to be plucked out of the body. Therefore, my brethren, let no man deceive you, let no man seduce you, love the peace of Christ, who was crucified for you, whilst he was God. Paul says, Neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that watereth, but God who giveth the increase. And does any of us say that he is something? If we say that we are something, and give not the glory to him, we are adulterers, we desire ourselves to be loved, not the bridegroom. Love you Christ, and us in him, in whom also you are beloved by us. Let the members love one another, but live all under the head. With grief indeed, my brethren, I have been obliged to speak much, and yet I have said little, I have not been able to finish the passage, God will help us to finish it in due season. I did not wish to burden your hearts further, I wish them to be free for sighs and prayers in behalf of those who are still deaf and do not understand.